I'd like to just turn to a subject this morning. I'm going to be looking at Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. One of those kind of cryptic prophecies, foretelling of God's plan and intent, but it is something that it kind of gets into our experience, probably our own experience of this season. In many ways, it's bright, it's encouraging, it's joy-filled, but sometimes it's tinged with other things. Just, again, you take a look at the news. It's so amazing what you see going on in our world during this particular time of year, which should be full of joy and gladness. I remember that probably one of the first times I experienced injustice, and it was when I was a fourth grader playing on a playground, and a group of guys came along. Happens not only there, but you see a young, promising football player after a domestic dispute falling out of a pickup and dying. Same time of year. Such great, great things that are happening, and yet it's so mixed. Remember the one song that we sang, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, and how in one line it laments not seeing what they hope, and yet hoping for more. I think that's where Micah was. I think Micah taps into this in this passage. And I think Micah thought, this is not right, this is not the way it should be. The ancient Jews had a word that we talked about on our first Sunday of Advent, a word that they used for things when they're right, and they called that shalom, or peace. God's shalom meant more than just the absence of war. It indicated a positive state of mind between God and the person, the longing for God's peace, including the personal sense of peace, was also the sense of being at peace as a group of people, peace with neighbor, and also peace as a nation. It meant wholeness and completeness. It was so broad and reaching, it took in even creation. To experience shalom is to experience peace with God and your world and people. Very interesting this week. I don't know if many of you tuned into this big discussion about the climate conference. It's quite a discussion. OPB broadcast a program called World Have Your Say. I was fascinated with the dialogue that went on in this thing. It wasn't just about ozone and certain amounts of carbon and things of that nature. This conversation actually turned to the nature of humanity. What is the nature of humanity? And you know what's interesting? I found, as I listened and I read a little bit further, that those who wouldn't speak of Christ at all are much more negative and much more cynical than Christians are about the nature of humanity. For a lot of them, the only solution that they could come up with was more control, governmental control, kind of a utopian dream where the government forces people to do what they should do. Can you see how negative that is about human nature? People will not do what they're supposed to do, is the idea, if left to their own. And so you have to force people to do this. And so it turned into a whole discussion in one point about democracy and socialism. It's fascinating to me. And they were discussing what is the nature of humanity. Everywhere we look, especially during this time of year, I think we should look at what system actually explains the nature of humanity. What taps into our true, real experience of humanity? And Christianity is very realistic about it. The truth is that as human beings, we are fallen. We don't do what we need to do. And yet there is hope. It isn't a government that's going to redeem us. It's going to be a work that the Prince of Peace does on the inside of us. And then one by one, we can transform our world from there. It has to be And they finally came up to this. It has to be something intrinsically valued within the, inside the person to make these changes. People have to change on the inside. No mistake here. We're very close to what Christianity promises. The ancient Jews, like I said, had this wonderful term called shalom that invited people and promised people not only peace with God, peace in their world, and peace with each other. And as the Bible story unfolds, God drops clues for us to pick up, to awaken our hearts to the joy of better days. For the Jews, this shalom was to be wrapped up into a person of peace called the Prince of Peace, and that's who we've been celebrating these four Sundays of Advent, the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 11, God whispered that promise again to us. A shoot will come from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Who is the bearer of shalom? Who is it? The person? Who is this person? Well, this person of power is the Christ who was promised to you and to me. So let's take a look here this morning at this person of power. Well, Margie, I may need you to advance something for me. Oh well, let's bag that. Okay. So we've taken a look at that. Micah lived about 700 years before Jesus was born in a mid-sized town about 25 miles south of Jerusalem. Prophets. The word prophet literally means to see. They're seeing something that many often don't see. Micah saw things that everyone else wanted to ignore. Micah speaks about the injustice that he saw in his world. Not only did this injustice outrage him, but it connected him with the promise of better days, that is, a Messiah. In Micah, it was like God was whispering into his ear, someone's coming. Someone's coming who will bring peace. And it is this promise of better days that keeps popping up again and again in this short book. In chapter 4, verse 3, he talks about this promise of better days where someone will come who judges between the people and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. Under this person's leadership, the nations will, according to him, beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. This is a beautiful picture of an ultimate reality that Christ will usher in. Perhaps many of us have echoed that same desire for peace. I think we have. As we look around, we wonder about better days. What will end these senseless bombings in our world? Probably, however, we have looked at these better days, hoped for them in our youth, but then very often we settle into a very comfortable way of living and we leave the passions of youth behind. The dreams of a better world, making it a better world. I hope you don't give up on that, those dreams. You can make a bigger, better world. Wherever you are, you can make a better world, whatever age you are. And if you've put to bed some of those dreams in your heart, let them come back to the surface. We don't have to settle for less. We can bring his peace to those who need it most, and peace right into our very lives. Though but let's take a look at this. Micah warns us that we could miss his coming. When God brings peace, he does it in a way that sometimes we don't understand. It's very quiet. This tripped everybody up in Jesus coming and being born as an infant. They were looking for something really big and very splashy. I love that God took this approach. because most of us operate on that level. Most of us can respond to something simple. This big and splashy thing is something that feels like it only lasts for a certain amount of time. In Christ, who's come, taken on flesh, just like we, who's lived this earth just like we, and yet without sin, we have a wonderful example. Someone who could lead us through this life in the way of peace. He will stand, it says in verse 4, and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. How broad and how encompassing is this shalom that Christ promises? Well, it is all-encompassing. And finally, Micah says, and he will be their peace. The reality we're aching for, longing for, always seems to be out of reach. It seems to be out of reach for our world. It is not, on a personal level, out of reach. It can begin in you and me. It's wrapped up in a person, and that person is the Christ. God's shalom is real. God's shalom is big and wonderful. It takes in you and me, and it can be spread to others, and it can affect our very world. I think there is a connection between our world and our care of it as a climate. And so I find it very interesting that within this conversation that was happening in Copenhagen, there was this sub-subject of the nature of humanity. We need to take care of our world, this wonderful world that God has given to us. And the peace on earth, bringing shalom to this earth, means, I think, in part, good care of the creation that God has given us. Now, that may sound somewhat abstract and impersonal. We wonder, how does this affect our lives? And that means that while he comes quietly, he will still come. And let's see here. What more here? Well, you know what? I'm just going to not worry about the technology, and we'll just go on with the message here. So Jesus is the real peace giver in our lives. He is the one who's promised in Micah. And 700 years later, as recorded in the New Testament, there is this strange birth. Someone is born, and the clues begin to point in the same direction, just as Micah predicted. His peace becomes something spoken of both in Micah and then also confirmed in Matthew. His birth is to be in Bethlehem. Another witness to this proclaims the coming one. It's in Matthew. It says, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give us light, to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. When he comes, you hear this whole chorus of angels singing glory to God in the highest, and what on earth? Peace on earth to whom God favors. So this shalom is meant for us. It's meant for a broken human race. It's meant for us, people who are selfish at heart. In that, we do agree with some of the discussions that went on in this conference. We are selfish at heart. That is not all that we are. There is potential. We can in Christ become greater than our selfishness. Christ's work in us transforms us and helps us to, in essence, get out of ourselves and help and support other people. So there's wonderful and good news, and that means that this is no longer an abstract idea. Jesus is the peace giver. But I want to come down to something very particular and very personal. Unless I am at peace with God, I am not part of the solution. Unless you are at peace with God, and living in that kind of peace that God ministers to you so that you can actually pass it on. You are not part of the solution. We are still part of the problem. It's in Christ that I become a peacemaker or an instrument of peace in this world. Following Jesus isn't just a matter of enjoying my own personal relationship with him. It is that, but it isn't just that. The Messiah, this promised one, was calling us to be part of a movement of bringing peace to a broken world. And as a follower of Christ, I'm now called to announce that good news to others, that we can be reconciled to God, that we can begin this journey one day at a time with God. And that this journey means I am being transformed in simple ways, that my behavior is seasoned and, if you will, censured by the Holy Spirit at work in my life. It's not only censured, but when I do well and when I follow Christ well, it's empowered by the Spirit of God. This is where we're headed. As a follower of Christ, I'm called to announce this good news, and we begin this journey in our homes, in our families. It doesn't mean that we won't have any conflict. It means that we work through our conflicts in our relationships in more peaceable ways. And maybe like the story of the boys who met me at the bottom of the slide, we began to stand up for those who are treated unjustly. We are asked to step in and nurture and advocate for those who have no voice. And then finally, being a peacemaker under God's reign propels us to live in hope. I'm sure, left to our own devices, that we could never finish this job of peacemaking. There is a lot wrong in our world. But with his help, with Christ's help, we can make a difference here and there. I think that's something that we've begun to understand. Our work, our missions work, our work here in this community sometimes touches the life of somebody in a very powerful way, seeing lives transformed by contact with people sitting in this room. One person at a time is often how the Prince of Peace makes his peace known to somebody else. He doesn't call the perfect to do this. He calls rather the broken. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says, God often uses the lame and the outcast. The Messiah brings shalom to the earth, and he calls you and me to join him. He doesn't call the perfect. He calls those of us who have been wounded sometimes to share our hope in Christ. The wounded sometimes feel their limp. I can say, I am a limper. I'm finding my way through this life, and I'm throwing my lot in with Christ. There's nothing better, nothing better. Sure, I've got my own weaknesses, ways in which God is bringing his wholeness and peace and shalom to me as he heals what's in me. But that healing and that work is so good and it's so thoroughgoing, I can't turn back. I wouldn't turn back for a moment. You and I, as his wounded people, maybe we feel like we're just limping along, but we have a perspective on something very, very important that many of those in that conference did not have. We have hope in this Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have spoken through your prophets something very particular and something very real. We recognize our plight in the story of Scripture, and we can only just turn to our world and see it being played out every day. Thank you that you have an answer, a work to do on the inside of us. I pray that you would begin that work for some today who need you deeply, who hope in coming today that there just may be a real answer and a solution to what they face. I pray also that you'd help us to get hold of what you want to do in us and even through us in this world. Give us a vision of what it would be like to be peacefully present with others, sharing our hope in you. May your Son, Jesus Christ, be honored by these desires in our heart as we attempt to live them out in our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen.